Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Following up on yesterday's program, on reason number 1162, to keep your kids out of public school, I intend to read my resignation letter from a public school district accountability committee that had been published in the Rocky Mountain News. And hopefully we'll then get to that discussion I had mentioned with a Muslim a few weeks back. But first, two things. We have a bit of audio from the Today Show on NBC about North Korea. And also, I received a phone call from an executive vice president of the Fox News Channel and an email reply from attorney Lisa Bloom, high-powered attorney. She's the one that got Bill O'Reilly kicked off of the Fox News Channel by representing Wendy Walsh. The phone call came from Kevin Lord. He is the director of human resources there at FNC. He's an executive vice president at the Fox News Channel. And he called to apologize to me for what I endured there at their studios some years back, extreme sexual harassment. It was just horrific. And I had not only written to the Fox News Channel some months back, but I wrote to Lisa Bloom, Wendy Walsh, who, again, is the woman whose account of the harassment from Bill O'Reilly led to him being sacked there at Fox. And a number of others saying, I know it's been years, and I know there's probably nothing that can be done, but it seems that Fox News Channel owes me an apology. And so through those contacts, and I don't know who of the intermediaries that I reached out to may have also contacted Fox, but I got a call. I was just about to speak to a group on creation evolution, God and science. And right before the talk, my cell phone rings, and it's Kevin Lord from Manhattan with Fox News. And he said, Bob, I've read your account, and I want to offer a heartfelt apology. I'm sorry for what happened to you. I'm not going to repeat what occurred. It's not my allegation. It was videotaped. It was videotaped, and it was widely disseminated. It was aggressive sexual harassment. And so when Kevin Lord called, I decided there on the spot that I wasn't going to ask for a written apology. I wasn't going to ask for anything else. I would just accept his apology on behalf of the Fox News Channel. If anyone is interested in the account to read about it, you can find it online at our website, kgov.com. kgov.com. Probably the easiest way would be to search for Kevin Lord. Or, you know, Fox sexual harassment. Whatever you search for. Now, when you're looking for information on a website, generally speaking, don't Google it. Because Google will give you 10,000 other results from 10,000 other websites. So when you know the information you need is on a particular website, if it's on WorldNet Daily or if it's on kgov.com, Real Science Radio, you go to that website and you use their search field. And so if you go to kgov.com and search for Kevin Lord or Fox sexual harassment, you should find it. We'll put a link to it on today's program, a link to our own page, which gives the account the emails back and forth with Wendy Walsh and with Lisa Bloom, and then the account of the sexual harassment there in their studios in Manhattan when I was flown into New York to appear on one of their programs. And the topic of all things was sexual harassment. It was somewhat ironic. So at any rate, that's now documented online as a footnote for the issue of sexual harassment. And then to the Today Show. This is from Tuesday, August 1st, 2017. Senator Lindsey Graham was talking with Matt Lauer and explaining that it's very possible that we're going to end up going to war with North Korea. I did a sermon a month ago at Denver Bible Church, Prepare for War with North Korea. The next day we talked about that topic on this program. One thing, one of the main things that Senator Graham omitted was mentioning that 25 million North Koreans have been incarcerated in their national communist prison. Communists turn their nations into prisons, and you're not allowed out. And the reason for that is that equality and freedom are mutually exclusive. You can't have both. If you give people freedom, if they have freedom, which ultimately comes from God, so if you allow them to exercise their freedom, they will not be equal. We should be equal before a court of criminal justice. We should be equal in that way. But as far as equality of opportunity, of course not. As far as equality of outcome, of course not. As far as equality of influence, of wealth, of power, of fame, you know, some people are ugly, other people are good looking. What are you going to do about that? You're going to pass a law that say that women have to date ugly men? I mean, there's when there is freedom, then there is inequality. We need to be equal before the court of criminal justice. But other than that, equality is a way of robbing people of their freedom, and it also is a violation of justice. So it is important to remember that destroying the government of North Korea is, aside from all the other benefits, it's a way of liberating 25 million human beings. Think of one person who you love, one person. Let's say it's your daughter. And if she was unjustly incarcerated, and so she had no freedom of travel, no freedom of speech, no freedom of religion, no freedom of association, she couldn't use the information highway of the internet, and a thousand other examples of her being denied her God-given freedom, would you be satisfied with that state? Or would you want to do everything possible to liberate your daughter? Will multiply your concern for your loved one by 25 million. And those are the people who are the victims of the communist regime of North Korea. So it is inherently just to destroy that government. And there are other benefits also, including defense of South Korea and Japan and America and even Russia and China, though they may be too stupid and too wicked to understand that. And also, the defense of our own homeland security is a defense of their regional stability. It is inherently. So let's now go to this audio from the Today Show.
On the subject of North Korea, the president has said, we'll handle North Korea. We're going to be able to handle them. It will be handled. In your opinion, over the next year, is it more likely that there is some sort of military conflict on the Korean Peninsula, whether that's a surgical strike or something larger? Or is it more likely that North Korea will cement its place as a nuclear threat in the world?
Well, this is the ultimate question. I know it's early in the morning, but President Trump has said, I will not allow them to get an ICBM with a nuclear weapon on top to hit America. They're headed that way. The only way they're going to change if they believe there's a credible threat of military force on the table. The Chinese are miscalculating Trump and so are the North Koreans. He's got to choose between homeland security and regional stability. Japan, South Korea, China would all be in the crosshairs of a war if we started one with North Korea. But if they get a missile, they can hit California, maybe other parts of America.
But every military expert says there is no good military option.
They're wrong. There is a military option to destroy North Korea's program and North Korea itself. He's not going to allow President Trump the ability of this madman to have a missile to hit America. If there's going to be a war to stop him, it will be over there. If thousands die, they're going to die over there. They're not going to die here. And he's told me that to my face. And that may be provocative, but not really. When you're a president of the United States, where's your allegiance lie? To the people of the United States, this man, Kim Jong-un, is threatening America with a nuclear-tipped missile. President Trump doesn't want a war. The Chinese can stop this. But to China, South Korea, and Japan, Donald Trump is not going to allow this missile threat
to mature. Just to be clear, are you saying it's okay to use a military option that immediately endangers the lives of millions of people in that region?
I'm saying it's inevitable unless North Korea changes, because you're making our president pick between regional stability and homeland security. He's having to make a choice that no president wants to make. They kicked the can down the road for 20 years. There's no place else to kick it. There will be a war with North Korea over their missile program if they continue to try to hit America with an ICBM. He has told me that. I believe him. And if I were China, I would believe him, too, and do something about it. You can stop North Korea militarily or diplomatically. I prefer the diplomatic approach. But they will not be allowed to have a missile to hit America with a nuclear weapon on top. And to allow them to do that is really abandoning homeland security.
All right. So when Senator Graham asked, where does your allegiance lie about an American president? Well, to America? No, actually, to God, to truth and justice. That's where our loyalty should be. And then secondarily, to one's family, one's nation, one's business, and so on. But primarily, our loyalty must be to God. And when someone asks you for your loyalty, you have to be very conscious that this is very much secondary to my loyalty to God. And on matters of morality, right and wrong, we can only have loyalty to God. So if the person that we're looking to as our leader does something immoral and asks for our support or our tolerance of their immorality, we must refuse. We must refuse, because otherwise, then by that one command to give loyalty to Mr. So-and-so, you're negating the Ten Commandments. It's like Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, thou shalt not criticize a fellow Republican. That one commandment negated the first 10. And that has been borne out in the moral collapse of America since 1980, since Ronald Reagan won that election. And since the Republican Party and our Christian leaders and major ministries have become moral relativists, almost to a last man and organization. So, now back to yesterday's reason number 1162 to keep your kids out of public school. I began reading my resignation letter that had been published in the Rocky Mountain News 3 years later. It was 3 years later, and on that anniversary, they republished my resignation letter, and I'd like to read that to you now. We have it in our Bob Enyart's monthly magazine. You may not have heard of this, but this is from back in 1994, the issues that we produced. It was called The Rational Inspirer. We have a telethon coming up in September. Perhaps we could find some old copies of The Rational Inspirer and give it to the first people who make donations or pledges to the telethon. It was a really fun magazine. Brief, color, newsletter, articles, a lot of artwork, a lot of cartoons. And this one edition had the headline on it was Adam City Takes State Title, 108 Babies Born in One School Year, a Record. And it had a cheerleader with the pom-poms. and it had the scoreboard like at a football field. And it said Adams City Eagles, 108. Aurora Gateway, 80. Because Aurora High School that year, Gateway High School, had 80 babies born. And Adams City had 108 babies born in that one year. And so that was in 1990 when I resigned. My guest editorial that was printed by the Rocky Mountain News appeared on February 19th, 1993. My original resignation letter was printed in three newspapers, three local Denver area newspapers. The reprint appeared only in the Rocky Mountain News. So let me read that to you. 3 years ago tomorrow, I resigned for a stupid reason from the Adams County District 14 Accountability Committee. Superintendent Richard Weber had just implemented a condom distribution program to reduce teen pregnancy and disease. I somehow had the backward notion that this would increase teen pregnancy, so I resigned in protest. And by the way, I was at a meeting with the school board and the district accountability committee. It was not a public meeting. And this Richard Weber is describing their new program. And I've long called these public school bureaucrats child sex advocates. As remember, Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains years ago wrote in their own newsletter that their goal as educators is to help students achieve sexual satisfaction before marriage. That they just openly wrote that as their goal, and this was decades ago when it was far more controversial. So imagine today. Well, we don't have to imagine, we know. It's horrific what their goal is with our children. But at that meeting, Weber, as he is about to describe the program to give condoms to children, to students, he leaps up on his toes and puts his hands up toward the sky and says, "We even give out condoms to these students." He's so excited about it. So to continue with my letter published in the Rocky Mountain News, eventually, though, we all read of Adams City High School's birth rate increase of 42%. Now, that was in the article published by the Rocky Mountain News, Teen Moms Abound at Adams High. And that was published May 5th, 1992. So I continued, and I referenced that article and continued. One birth for every eight girls yielded 108 children in 1 year, a record. A couple of years earlier, my resignation letter read, quote, and then the Rocky Mountain News indented all this so people could clearly see the original resignation letter, to the District 14 Board of Education. I am hereby resigning. By distributing condoms in Adams City High School, we are running the risk of increasing teen pregnancy, AIDS, and venereal disease among our children. When the board chose this course of action, it did not reference any studies that indicate common distribution would help reduce teen sexual problems. Why? Because there are none. The studies show the opposite. And at the end of yesterday's program, I pointed out that even if studies showed that it would reduce teen pregnancy, that is irrelevant because it is child abuse to give children sex aids. That's child abuse. God instituted marriage and made us in such a way and revealed to us that sex is for within marriage. The marriage bed alone is undefiled. And so not only does the Bible teach this, but even our conscience teaches us, for example, that marriage should not be violated. A man should not try to seduce his neighbor's wife, and so on. So my letter continued, Planned Parenthood Federation of America financed a 1986 Harris poll titled The Planned Parenthood Poll, American Teens Speak, Sex, Myths, TV, and Birth Control. The teens in the poll admitted that Planned Parenthood approved comprehensive sex education courses did affect their behavior. There was a 50% higher rate of sexual activity for them after the class, with no significant increase in birth control use. Now, is that surprising to anyone? It should not be. And I continued, since the early 1970s, Congress has poured tens of millions of dollars into Planned Parenthood to help it bring sexuality curricula into our schools. During that time, the teen pregnancy rate soared by 90%. In other words, it almost doubled after all those tens of millions of dollars and all the education to teach kids don't get pregnant while you're still in school and so on. It soared by 90% to more than a million pregnancies each year, plus nearly 500,000 teen abortions per year, an increase of 230% during those years. How's that? Now, Planned Parenthood, for them, this is business. This is more revenue for them because they introduce children to sexually explicit curriculum and they give them sex aids to make them feel safe, which is a lie. And then lo and behold, more kids get pregnant than Planned Parenthood gets hundreds of dollars for each baby they kill. And then for a lot of these girls, they're repeat clients. So my letter continued. A John Hopkins study reported by Zelnick and Kantner in Planned Parenthood's own Family Planning Perspectives showed that from 1971 to 1976, unintended pregnancy was actually higher among contraceptive users than among non-users. In these years, Planned Parenthood services became widespread to students. How safe are condoms? Family Planning Perspectives reported in October 1986 an 18% annual failure rate for so-called safe sex condoms. How's that? In their own literature. And this is coming from their own studies. I continued. The Planned Parenthood News boldly stated, quote, "Our goal is to be ready as educators to help young people obtain sex satisfaction before marriage." They meet their goal well. Focus on the Family's James Dobson recently aired an interview with Christy. With her boyfriend Jason, she attended a Planned Parenthood birth control class. The topics were so explicit and enticing that her boyfriend persuaded Christy to have sex with him immediately after the class in the front seat of his car in the school parking lot without protection. Unhappy parents were assured they could keep their children out of the condom program. Oh, really? How about the parents of 14-year-old Susan, whose boyfriend pulls out a school condom? How are they to protect their daughter from this program? The board says, be realistic. Teenagers are going to have sex anyway. That is fatalism, not realism. Sex ruins kids' lives. Do we lack faith in our children's character? If we expect 10th graders to have sex, they will. But if we challenge them with self-respect and abstinence, many will live up to that standard. Instead, we have set an impossible goal for our kids. Have sex and avoid the consequences. I have pulled my children out of the district and will keep them out until basic morality, which is constitutional, by the way, returns. Now, that last statement was naive. But this is a long time ago, huh? More than a quarter of a century ago. So I've learned a lot. And since then, I have learned that even if public schools were to teach basic morality correctly and origins, and even the Bible, even the gospel, it is still immoral to have the government educate our children. The worst thing about public education is that these are government schools. God never authorized the government to educate our children. That is the parents abdicating their responsibility to raise their children. So that letter to the Board of Education, you can find that on our website, kgov.com. We'll link to it from today's show summary. And also, you can go to kgov.com and search for Board of Education resignation letter or anything like that. You'll find it. So a few weeks ago, a member of Denver Bible Church and I spoke at length with a Muslim about Christianity and Islam. And there are a few highlights from that discussion that I wanted to share with you guys. We mentioned to this Muslim gentleman, he's in his 60s, that if every Jew, Christian, and infidel were suddenly removed from the earth, we asked him, would the Muslim killing stop or would they increase? And we argued that they would increase. And our friend did not strongly disagree with that. He didn't disagree. And then we talked about, and he's from Iran, and Iranian Muslims hate Saudi Arabian Muslims. They just hate one another, the Shia versus the Sunni. They hate each other. And we mentioned Saudi Arabia and Mecca, Medina. This is in the, these are the primary holy sites of Islam. And for these centuries now, this has been the heart of the Muslim religion, Mecca. And he said, well, they're not Muslims. They're not Muslims. They're not Muslims. How's that? And the extremist Muslims from Saudi Arabia will say that the Muslims from Iran are not Muslims. And then add in every other country around the world with their Muslims. And so the fighting would obviously increase. We put on our website, kgov.com, on our terrorism page, we put a political cartoon of the last Muslim alive, and he's fighting himself, trying to stab himself. But more interestingly, we talked to him about humility and how powerful humility is, and that the Christian God is humble. And that's something else that there was an agreement on, because he agreed that absolutely in no way is the God of Islam humble. Absolutely not. Of course he's not humble. What reason could he possibly have for being humble? And isn't that so fascinating? An area of agreement between Christians and Muslims that the God of Islam is not humble, yet the God of Christianity is humble, for he became a servant, and he laid down his life to save us, to save those who have rejected him. In fact, even those who called for him to be crucified. So the God of Islam calls for his followers to sacrifice their sons in jihad with suicide bombings. And the God of Christianity sacrificed his own son to save us and our children. The conversation went on. It was really fascinating. Had to do with the distribution of the Quran, the historical distribution, how it was recalled and then re-released, whereas the New Testament was released in earnest when it was written. May God bless you guys.